Jonathan Gotis, what was it that made you decide, okay, I'm running?
You know, there's a lot of things that are happening in Glenwood specifically, and then there's a lot of things happen nationally that kind of give rise to at least my feeling of wanting to serve. I think some of the stuff that's happening in Glenwood with having just extended the for 30 years the A&I acquisitions and improvement tax gives the city up to $54 million to bond. So there's actually money there to do some cool things and not just make the Grand Avenue Bridge, you know, as great as it can be, although that's really important, but the confluence, 6th Street, and then things that are very specific to my ward that's been neglected for years, which is Midland and South Bridge, bus service restoration, anything to get the traffic off of Midland, and then actually just to repair Midland for the traffic that hopefully is left.
You've said that downtown improvements are placed ahead of outlying neighborhoods.
I absolutely recognize that one of the largest economic drivers and tax revenue generators for Glenwood Springs is the downtown core. So I'm a huge supporter and proponent of doing all we can to continue to make downtown this great, eclectic, neat place for residents and visitors alike. It concerns me a little bit that 7th Street, for example, was redone 4 or 5 years ago with new outdoor dining options, which, I mean, has partially revitalized downtown and the dining scene in downtown. So fantastic. But there's $2.4 million right now slated in the 2017 budget to redo 7th Street or to do additional work to 7th Street. It seems like the bridge project, the Grand Avenue Bridge, has sucked up so much oxygen and people are so concerned about the visitor interaction in the downtown core. Prior to that, we had $5.3 million allocated for the South Bridge in 2005. And that was 12 years ago. And we still haven't spent all that money. And so it's very frustrating when we talk about the South Bridge that there was this money allocated in 2005. In 2009, 2010, there's all this infrastructure stimulus money from the federal government, and they were looking for shovel-ready projects. How do we not have something that we could have just taken off the shelf and handed to the feds and said, here it is, we're ready to go?
Where did that money go?
There's been environmental assessment, which is not complete. There's been community meetings. But really, it just doesn't seem like there's the will to take it on. And part of that is, I think there's this long-going conversation between the county and the city over who takes the fiscal lead. Right. Now, the $5.3 million grant was to the city. It absolutely does benefit the city of Glenwood Springs residents in South Glenwood. But the road to the bridge, and the road from the bridge to 82, it's all on county land.
Okay.
And 100% of the beneficiaries are county residents. More than half, though, are county-exclusive residents up 4 Mile. There is now more residents up 4 Mile than there is within city limits in Ward 5. So that's a fact.
There are more people living up 4 Mile than live at Cardiff Glen?
Absolutely.
Where are these people?
They're in Oak Meadows. They're in 4 Mile Ranch. They're in Sunlight View 1 and 2. In addition to that, there's 300 building permits that have been issued by the county that they're just waiting on people who own these lots who pick up a phone, call their contractor, and say, let's build.
Okay.
So 2 or 3 years ago when we were fighting, our area was fighting that FedEx facility because of all the truck traffic, the 200 trips a day. Once those get built, those are going to generate, because all those homes are going to be single family and they're going to have at least 2 cars. That's going to be like 3 FedExes. So the answer to what ails us is not just strike down big projects and big developments, although smart growth is one of my platforms as well. I think the answer is right now we have a problem, no matter how nice we make Midland. We'll still have overcapacity in it.
Okay.
So that's why we need a South Bridge.
What are your ideas about the confluence development? Some people would like to see a river walk there. Other people would just like to see a park. Some people would like to see sort of a mixed use development. What are your ideas?
Shellycop has a great idea to have a nationwide contest for designing it. But within that, like any bid package you would give out to private industry for the city, you would need to have guidelines. Otherwise, you're going to get submissions back that are 100% park and open space, and others that are just going to be high density housing.
Okay.
And when you say Riverwalk, what comes to my mind, and what I think comes to a lot of people's mind, is in San Antonio, there's this Riverwalk, right. And it's neat. But that's all commercial. I don't know that we should commercialize that confluence to that level. I think having a commercial component, having a residential component, an affordable housing component, to kind of move downtown away from Grand Avenue, I would be thinking more boutiques and local flavor so that those visitors can still have another pocket to go to.
There's been some talk, too, from other candidates about how to kind of bring people past 9th Street and further south into Glenwood Springs.
You know, I think that's always a difficult problem because right now on the corner of 9th and Grand, you have the White River Forest Service building, which mm-hmm. is not retail. Mm-hmm. And you also have Bank of Colorado, which closes its door at 5 o'clock.
Right.
And then a parking lot. And then maybe if you see the vaudeville, you think, oh, there's a theater, but I'm really not going to see a movie. So there's not enough to bring people over there as long as those two structures in that area exist. Mm-hmm. I think it's possibly more feasible to develop the outer line downtown. And I think the confluence holds part of that. I think 6th Street really holds a large part of that. I mean, if we're talking about doubling the size and scope of downtown, confluence and 6th Street are those areas. When you have businesses that are non-tax generating, sales tax generating revenue, which is real estate offices, which is banks, it detracts from the vitality of downtown, and we're also hurting our sales tax revenue in the meantime. Other towns have addressed this by requiring that anything that goes into their downtown core be retail-oriented. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that we should start to have a conversation. I don't think it's a problem yet, but we won't know it's a problem until we have 3 more banks, 5 more real estate offices, and all of a sudden we don't have candy shops and restaurants and things
galleries.
Like that. Yeah, absolutely.
You are the director of the Early Childhood Network.
That's correct.
And how will this position add to your role as city council member?
Taking that experience of the city council, obviously I have a passion for young children, for families. And it's difficult. It's difficult for a young family. Home prices are more expensive now than when we moved here in 07. A regular family with car payments and childcare averages about $10,000 a year per child.
$10,000 a year per child.
And that's in Glenwood. From an economic development standpoint, when you have bank directors say, I can't keep tellers. I have to. That is
right.
A skilled position.
Mm-hmm.
And for somebody to get all the training and then a couple of years later decide, geez, you know, for $15 or $16, there is no scenario where it makes sense for me to come to work anymore. I'm going to stay home and raise a family.
Right.
The difficulty for that employer now is I have to find a new person. I have to train them. Where if there was affordable quality childcare, that person could remain in the workforce and more viable.
How do you see Glenwood Springs City Council fitting into that?
It's a larger question about what an affordable community looks like. I don't know what that would look like specifically in Glenwood, but I think it transcends just childcare. I want my daughters to be able to live in a community of their upbringing and not have to go to college and feel like they have to get a degree in engineering because that's the kind of job that pays enough that they can live mm-hmm. in a $500,000 town home in mm-hmm. Glenwood Springs, Colorado. Mm-hmm. I want them to be able to pursue what their passion is, what their values are, and come back with that with that degree in art or communications right. or recreation and be a great part of the fabric of our community. I want my grandkids raised in a community where their neighbor can be a single mom, where they can have tradespeople, teachers, mm-hmm. nurses, plumbers. What about the person that is just working the Pullman? I mean, I'm not saying just, as in that's not a valuable thing, but so much of our economy is based on that. They're priced out of our economy.
Right.
And when I say priced out, they might live in Glenwood, but they're living with 3 roommates.
Exactly.
Or they're living in West Glenwood mm-hmm. in a studio or downtown in an attic that is not a legal residence. So
mm-hmm.
how do we incorporate that talent and those people and those idea and diversity into the community? And a lot of these people are not engaging in public service, in volunteers, mm-hmm. in nonprofits, because it's really not their community because
they don't have time. They're working 3 jobs.
And that's exactly it.
Right.
I mean, I think on a nationwide basis, the hollowing out of the middle class is a huge problem. So how do we address it on a local level and not have to worry so much about the macro things that we can't control?
Jonathan Gotis, candidate for Glenwood Springs City Council, Ward 5, South Glenwood. Thanks very much.
Appreciate it.